This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. One of the best ways to get good at job hunting is to talk to people who do it well. That's why once a month, I interview a MaxList reader who found a job they love. Our guest today is Roxanne Michlevsky. She's the regional philanthropy officer at the American Red Cross in Portland, Oregon. For Roxanne Michlevsky, the trick to finding her dream job was examining her own career motivations. In a story you can find on the MaxList website, Roxanne said she asked herself what mattered most. Was it a collaborative culture, a larger mission, or learning new solutions? When Roxanne identified her priorities for her next job, the pieces started to fall into place. Roxanne, you're the regional philanthropy officer at the American Red Cross here in Portland. Why do you love your job?
I feel really lucky to have landed at the Red Cross for a number of reasons. It's a national organization, the American Red Cross, but we have chapters all across the country. We have a really interesting structure. The way that we work in terms of our fundraising structure is really different. And I really enjoy the collaborative culture. I really enjoy the opportunities that we have to grow our relationships and our portfolios in terms of the kind of the nuts and bolts of the work. But it really comes down to relationship building, and the team that I have is really supportive and brilliant and cares very much about the work of the Red Cross and for each other. So I feel quite lucky to have landed.
How did you set your goals that led to this position? I mean, did you know you wanted to work at the Red Cross, Roxanne, or did you define the kind of organization you wanted?
That's an interesting question. I wanted to work for a national organization. I've been in small shop nonprofit for the majority of my career. And after graduating with my MBA in 2019, in early 2019, I wanted to take some of the learnings and apply them more broadly in terms of how does a national nonprofit function? How do we do this well? You know, so much of good fundraising is person-to-person, organization-to-organization relationship building, and the kind of channel design that the Red Cross has implemented over the last decade or so has been quite successful, and I've been fascinated to learn how that's all worked and the trajectory that we've really grown into and the strategies that we've put in place. So my goals were really around being very interested in joining a national nonprofit with my fundraising background. And the Red Cross really ticked all the boxes for me in terms of my background in humanitarian services work. And so it was a really natural fit.
Did you wait for an opening to appear on the Red Cross website, or did you take other action to find the opportunity before it was advertised?
Well, I felt quite lucky. I was contacted by a recruiter for the Red Cross here in Portland, letting me know that this regional philanthropy officer position was open and had been open for a couple of months, and they were really looking for the right fit. And so, I mean, it's being contacted by a recruiter it's an interesting sort of spot to find yourself because it's, you know, you feel quite lucky in a way, you know, I have this opportunity, I want to pursue it, but you're not sure, you know, kind of what their job history or what their job search history has looked like, what kinds of candidates they have seen already, am I the right fit for what they're looking for? So, being contacted by a recruiter was an interesting way to start this process in particular.
Did you have a relationship with a recruiter before you received the call?
No, I didn't, not at all. And it is interesting because, you know, I've had been on MaxList for a number of months before that, really looking for the right kinds of positions to come across my bow, and I had interviewed at a few places before the recruiter contacted me, and it was just an easy sort of month and a half long process after that.
Did the recruiter share how they discovered you?
That's an interesting question. I don't believe I ever asked. I assume, and again, who knows? But there's a little box you can tick on your LinkedIn profile that says, you know, make yourself available to recruiters should they be interested in contacting. You know, I ticked that box, and so I assumed that it was that way. but I'm not sure.
I imagine you were one of several candidates that the recruiter mm-hmm. or perhaps other recruiters presented to the American Red Cross. Mm-hmm. What was it like working with a recruiter, and how did you position yourself mm-hmm. once you decided this was a job you wanted to be successful?
The recruiter was an interesting sort of go-between. I should say that this is the first time I had ever worked with a recruiter before, so I was fairly green to the process. She was very kind, very helpful. She kept in touch with me throughout the entire process. But what I learned kind of as I went into the interview process with the Red Cross was that the recruiter didn't necessarily know all the nuts and bolts of how the organization's fundraising department really worked. So the questions that I was asking her, she would say, you know, your supervisor would be a better person to ask that question to. And so, you know, for job seekers to understand that recruiters, they may not know every detail that you were really seeking at the time, but to kind of flag that and to make note that, like, oh, they might not know the ins and outs of your 401k program, but, you know, make a note to ask the HR team about that.
So you didn't expect the recruiter to have all the answers about the organization,
yeah.
its culture, or the needs of the employer, did you?
Well, you know, it's because this is the first time that I ever experienced working with a recruiter. I did. I think I assumed that she worked closely with the team, but she's working on a national level. You know, this woman is working, you know, across the division, meaning the whole West Coast, and likely for other chapters as well. So, yeah.
Once you discovered that, Roxanne, mm-hmm. how did you prepare for your conversations with the American Red Cross, with mm-hmm. the hiring managers?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I went into my interviews with the Red Cross just really open-eyed. I wanted to learn as much as I could. You know, there were a couple of times where I said, you know, Cindy told me X, Y, and Z. And
Cindy was the recruiter?
Yeah, her name was Cindy. Lovely woman, really, really kind and very helpful in all the ways that it is, you know, as you're pursuing your job, you know, the kinds of boxes that you need to tick in order to get in front of the hiring manager. But, you know, I would say, like, I asked Cindy these cultural questions about how the office works, and, you know, she wasn't able to answer. And that's totally understandable now that I understand how this relationship actually works. And my hiring manager was able to talk me through that.
So talk more about how a recruiter's relationship is with a candidate, because we've certainly had many recruiters on the show, but I often find job seekers have one idea of how a recruiter might work with them, and the reality is something different. What were your expectations, Roxanne, when you were contacted by Cindy? And it sounds like it was a very positive relationship, but it was different than perhaps what you expected, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's very interesting. Again, you know, I expected her to really know everything about the department in which for which I was joining. And through no fault of her own, I mean, she's doing all this work across, you know, many, many different chapters. That wasn't the case, and that's totally okay. But again, the first time I had ever worked with a recruiter before, my hope and my expectation was when she first recruited me or reached out and said, this might be an opportunity that you would be interested in, was that she would continue to communicate with me about, you know, even if I didn't have questions, that, you know, 2 weeks later she would follow up with me and say, hey, here's where we're at in the process. I think for job seekers the world over, the most frustrating part of the process is not knowing. You know, you're putting yourself out there and you're sending these cover letters and you're really reaching out. And even when perhaps when you work with a recruiter and then you kind of just fall off their radar, and you can feel really alone in that process. And I think what I really admired when working with Cindy and when working with the first few weeks of this process with the Red Cross was the amount of touches, which was frankly a really good sign for fundraising, you know, for joining a fundraising team, communication being paramount and relationship building. So,
and then you mentioned Cindy didn't have a detailed knowledge of the organizational culture and the challenges that the Red Cross might have. How did you fill that gap? What kind of homework did mm-hmm. you do when you're preparing for conversations with people inside the Red Cross so that you would understand mm-hmm. their needs and be able to talk about what you might do for them.
Yeah, I don't want to misrepresent and say that Cindy didn't know about the culture, you know, at the Red Cross. She's been right. working there for a long time, and she really did have a good sense of what I was going to be walking into. But she was very good about saying, you know, that question might be, you know, Dave, your chief development officer will have a better sense of that. You know, he'll be able to answer that question in more detail, which was very helpful for me. That way I could go to Dave and say, you know, what is the working culture like here? How collaborative are you? Is it an open door policy? Can we, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the best part of the recruitment process in terms of these conversations that I'm having with Cindy is, or was, here's what I know, here's where we're going to go from here, and here's what I don't know necessarily, and here's where you can follow up. So she kind of helped shape those first few conversations when I was getting to know the organization.
What advice would you have for a listener who is about to work with a recruiter for the first time?
Well, I would say be open. I mean, that sounds a little bit trite, but ask the questions that are at the forefront of your mind early. You know, again, the recruiter might not have a working knowledge of how the inter-office culture functions, but they will know about other things that might be of import to you, you know, your salary and your benefits, your timeline, your time off, the amount of hours that you're expected to put in, how the office might work with kind of an in-out policy, you know, can I work from coffee shops, that kind of thing. When you're working with a recruiter, especially when they contact you, it's helpful to ask questions like, what about me did you see in my LinkedIn profile, whatever your, you know, whatever's out there, that would draw, or that would help you understand that I would be a good fit for this job? And they'll help you kind of understand they're looking for, you know, Dave, the hiring manager, whomever, at whatever organization you're reaching out to. They're looking for somebody with this experience, with this kind of a background, with this kind of a history with organizations or individuals. I mean, I'm speaking from a fundraising background, so it's a little bit specific. But it's really helpful to start a conversation, to build a rapport and a relationship, because a recruiter is a human being. And they're really doing the work on behalf of the organization, but on behalf of you as well. They want to make sure it's a good fit.
Any other challenges you want to share about this process and moving to your next job?
Challenges. Well, I mean, as all job hunters, seekers, as we all understand, you know, it's an incredibly vulnerable process. We're putting ourselves out there. We're really writing, you know, in our cover letters and in our informational interviews and in our networking. Not only is it, you know, incredibly time consuming, but it's really vulnerable. You really have to open yourself up to failure, to rejection, to this possibility, especially, you know, as it concerns, you know, being kind of forgotten about in the process. You know, you can put your heart and soul into an interview or five and then we're sorry, it's just not a good fit. And that's really heartbreaking. It can feel really, you know, you can start to cycle about, you know, what did I do wrong? What about me did they not like? If they continued to call me back, who was a better fit? You know, what did they have that I didn't have? All of these sorts of things that we can kind of cycle on. So I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges for me in this process, again, you know, I was contacted by a recruiter and for the Red Cross for the job that I am currently in, and that went forward, and I had a few rounds of interviews with them. But before that, you know, I was hitting the pavement along with all of us, you know, all of this, you know, the kinds of work that we have to do to put ourselves out there.
So you were
networking and applying for other positions. And it just, the phone didn't ring one day and magically produce this offer.
No.
You were in the middle of a search.
No, no. It's incredibly important to update your networking tools. I mean, I think job seekers hear this kinds of things all the time, but to have a clean statement of, you know, I'm putting my air quotes up, brand statement, your personal brand statement on your LinkedIn profile so that people understand what your interests are, what you do well, and what you're seeking to do in the future. Identifying your values, what will continue to keep you going forward every day. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, identifying your motivations, I think, is absolutely key. And so the challenges that I really faced was just, you know, feeling a little bit sad sometimes, I think, that, you know, I hadn't found the perfect job yet and it hadn't fallen into my lap. And you just kind of got to keep doing the work.
Roxanne, do you think that work that you did do on your personal brand, you talked about pounding the pavement, doing some networking, did that help position you for success when the phone did magically ring one day and there was a recruiter wanting to have a conversation with you about a job that interested you very much?
That's a great question. Yeah, the short answer is absolutely. The more comfortable we get with our kind of personal brand statements, meaning like, what is it that you actually do? What is it that actually gets you out of bed in the morning and drives you to go to work? The more that you can understand that and practice that, the more natural it is when you're having a conversation with a recruiter or with an informational interview or even when you're in the door for your first interview. We got to practice. That's the only way to build that experience.
Do you think you might not have been as successful as you were if you hadn't done that?
I'm certain. I mean, I think that's why I wasn't as successful prior to securing this position at the Red Cross. It sounds so clinical, securing the position now. Having the opportunity to work for the Red Cross. You have to practice. I had to really get comfortable with why I was doing this in the first place, why I was moving from my previous organization, which was a lovely group of people, which was a really important mission, and which was difficult to leave. You know, I cried when I left my past organization. But it was time for me to go. It was time for me to move on.
It's been a great conversation, Roxanne. Now, tell us, what's your number one job hunting tip?
Know thyself. I really believe that you, in order to get the job you really want, you got to be comfortable with putting yourself out there. You got to understand that it is a vulnerable, it's a vulnerable position to be in. And in order for you to secure that next step forward, you know, putting in the work, getting that experience of the difficult conversations and really identifying your motivations, what's going to continue to keep you going to this job, you know, before you say yes to the next job, is it providing you with what you need? Is it giving you is it nourishing your values? Is your motivation, you know, a really high salary? Is it mission driven? Is it creative collaboration? Is it strong teamwork? And the more that you can suss out from your interview process, and the more honest you can be in those conversations, you'll be successful.
Roxanne, thanks for sharing your story. And you can learn more about Roxanne's job search by visiting maxlist.org/stories. And check out the MaxList website for dozens of other success stories like Roxanne's. On the second Friday of every month, we add a new interview with a MaxList reader who has found a dream job. Go to maxlist.org/stories. Thank you for joining us for this bonus episode of Find Your Dream Job.